Hari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Bhalava Kirvada Dhari. Gopi Jana Bhalava Kirvada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Jahari Ramuna Tiravana Jahari Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabiyahari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Bhalava Kirivada Hari Gopi Jana Bhalava Girivada Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Jahari Yamuna Tiravana Jahari Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabi Hari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Parnamaham Tabadiraja Gacharya Asto Tarasada Shri Shimana's Divine Grace Shri Bhaktis Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pad Parmaham Tabadiraja Gacharya Asto Tarasada Shri Shimana's Divine Grace Shri Bhaktis Vedanta Sarasada Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Go Divaishtamanand Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Go All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, Shri Shri Guru and Garanga. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.
Okay.
So the note here says class ends at 8:45 a.m. So we're going to be here a long time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So actually, I always find Sunday feasts is like the hardest talk to give because you have to pick a verse or something. If if you're assigned a verse, then it's whatever it is, you try to say something relevant. But when you have to choose a verse, so I just chose a series of verses to talk about a little bit. From the Bhagavad Gita, the end, conclusion, the perfection of renunciation, read a few verses and then one purport, starting with text 58, read through 63, and purport, I think, to 63. So I'll just read the English to the first few. Krishna is starting to summarize everything he's been teaching Arjuna. He says, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. O Sayana Bhart, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. And this is the verse we'll read. I'll read the Sanskrit and then we'll read the purport. So this is text 63. Iti te jnanam akyatyam guyad guyataram maya vishrim jaitat asheshena yate chasi tatakuru. Lord says, thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. One more time. Thus I've explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Hear the words, yate chasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Bicharine Nirvasesha Srinivadi Pashtatari Sitarine. So, it's always nice to be here in Alachua. It's very inspiring because when you give this Sunday talk here, you don't know exactly how much time you're going to have because it depends on how many special announcements there are, which I think is a sign of a very healthy Krishna conscious community. I've always thought that the perfection of all of our temples will be when each one has got 6 or 8 or 10 different classrooms And there'll be an announcement on Tuesday night. There's Sanskrit for beginners in Room A. There's harmonium for in-between learners on Group B. There's bhakti yoga for single mothers in Group C. There's how to quit smoking with the Maha Mantra in Room D, etc. You know, all of the, and then, you know, E will be, you know, Chaitanya Bhagavat, you know, advanced level of study, etc. So all of the full range will be there. So it's nice to hear all the activities that are going on here. And thank you all for making this, helping to make this a very vibrant community in ISKCON. And just before we talk about these verses, just remind everybody that as members of ISKCON and friends of ISKCON, we have two very big years coming up. This is November, mid-November now. So in 6 weeks, we will be 2026. And what is that? Who can tell us what's happening in 2026? Besides, for those of us in Washington, D.C., it's national elections. Put that aside. What's more important in 2026? Anybody know? TOVP, they're saying now 2027. Good guess where their voice came from. No, 2026, we should all know this. It is the 60th anniversary of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's where the Hari Bol, isn't it? Hari Bol. And I know from a little the sociology religion course as part of the GBC Leadership College, they talk about sociologists say most religious movements or communities, they don't last, first of all, past the founder. And you could say, we know our tradition is old, but Prabhupada, certainly the founder of ISKCON, they don't last past the passing away of the founder. And very few last the first 50 years. So just the fact that we're still here is a very significant thing. And the fact that we're growing, and we are growing, very nicely is very, very significant. So next year, the 60th anniversary. So please, everybody here in Alachua, start thinking about that. At the very least, all of our events, it should be the 60th anniversary Gaur Purnima, the 60th Rath Yatra, the 60th Janmashtami, et cetera, because it's a big thing, actually, 60. And as we see, at least the first generation of devotees, the direct initiates of Srila Prabhupada, every year there's less and less and less. I don't know how many of us will be here for 70. It's another 11 years, 10 years, so it's not probably going to be very many. And definitely, you know, 75, maybe a wheel and a few of us, and less and less and less. So 60 is a big thing. Definitely more Prabhupada disciples. There may be more disciples across the board for the 70th or the 75th, but definitely this is going to be kind of a historic one in many, many ways. And also 2027, what is that? Somebody mentioned TOVP. That would be wonderful. We're hoping that they open 2027. What else happens for sure 2027? It's the 50th anniversary of what? The passing away of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So it's not a celebration, it's a commemoration. So these two things back to back, we're kind of saying 60-50, are very historically important years for ISKCON. So please, hopefully there should be some local discussion by that, the youth, the Radharani Club, all the different things that are functioning here, the boards. How can we really make a big event out of this? 2 years of commemoration. And it's important to talk about the 60th for a minute. It's a very important time to look back when you have a celebration like that. Look back and to look forward, study ISKCON, how we've done, what can we do better, what should we be doing? What should we fix? All those things are important. And of course, the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada's departure is very important. Time for us to re-emphasize our dependence upon and our connection with Srila Prabhupada. We know he's the founder of Charya. We know how important that title was, that he was very concerned to make sure that title is in all the books, all the buildings, and we see that now. Those of us that lived through a certain period of time, there was a community a little further north from here in West Virginia where the leader of that group declared himself the founder Charya of that community. Soon thereafter, he crashed in Krishna's grace. The whole New Vrindavan is a wonderful community now. If you haven't been there in recent years, please go. But it's very easy for us to forget our dependence on Srila Prabhupada. It's part of the illusion, the material world, and to misunderstand and forget that he is the founder of our society. He's also the Charya. So we look to him for all of the standards that have been set, When we read the books, just like we read the commentary, this verse in Bhagavad Gita, it's his commentary. He's the one that started the Sunday feast programs. He's the one that started the standards of deity worship. Just like now, if you want to install Lakshmi Narayan deities, for example, you're not going to be able to in ISKCON because Prabhupada didn't emphasize that. You can go other places and worship Lakshmi Narayan. You can't do in ISKCON because we're following what Prabhupada said. The deity ministry is really tough on that. No, Prabhupada said this. We don't do that. So he's very, very important to us. He's the one that emphasized book distribution, translating the books in so many languages. He established the Governing Body Commission and stated they're the ultimate managing authority to keep us all together, not any one person. We know from his experience with his spiritual master, wanted a governing body commission, didn't work. Different groups tried to follow one person. He said, no, we're not going to do that. So he started the GBC even when he was physically present to make sure that all goes forward. So we have a lot to be grateful to him, and it's a really wonderful year for us to meditate on our dependence upon him. And as he said, that we hear this all the time. This used to be posted here someplace. I don't see what it is now. That our love for him will be shown by how we cooperate. So just a little emphasis on that coming up. Please be thinking about that a lot. Those are very important years for us. And the sacred mission that he gave us to cooperate together and to share Krishna consciousness with others. And we know, it is a fact, we see that historically, just like Prabhupada is here on the Vyasasan, Prabhupada's Murti is here on the altar, the paramparas there, other gurus, photos are there, people who are initiating new disciples, and I fall at their feet because it's the most difficult service in all of ISKCON squared to be a spiritual, initiating spiritual master. But those pictures up there, like a lot of temples you go, I haven't been in this Pujari room, there were like 15 pictures of initiating spiritual masters there. Those pictures are removable. They're changeable, and they will change over the years. Some of the pictures are there now when their last disciple passed away. That picture's going to go away. But Prabhupada's always going to be there in ISKCON. His the Vyasa Puja for Prabhupada will always be there. The Vyasa San for Prabhupada will always be there. The books translated by Prabhupada will always be the books we study. So it's very important we do remember his central position. And he's the one that keeps us all together. We see already, you know, the little groups here or there can kind of spin off and split off. And that's the nature of the living entity. We all want to be independent. We all want to be the controller. But ISKCON means we keep him at the center. And of course, we do that because he so expertly keeps Krishna in the center. And he made that very, very clear for us. So we're grateful for him, and it's a big couple years coming up. First, to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the organization he created that we're all dependent upon and thriving because of, and then the next year to commemorate his departure 50 years ago. So this particular verse, or these series of verses in the Bhagavad Gita, they really highlight the essence of Krishna consciousness or Vaishnavism. Because the Lord, through the whole Bhagavad Gita, this is the 18th chapter, he's explained all about the different types of yoga. He's talked about the modes of material nature, how they affect people, how they cause us to have faith in different things. He's talked about different types of duties. He's talked about the mind, how it's our friend, how it's our enemy. He's talked about the planets, higher planets, lower planets, what's the impact of material influences on the planets. He talked about the soul, different from the body. And so many different descriptions are given. At the end, he mentions it a few times as he goes, but at the end he really drives home this point, surrender to him. That's it, surrender. And then he says, and now do what you want to do. Which is really quite phenomenal. And it's an essential part of our philosophy. And in some ways, I think it sets us off from other traditions, and we should all know why we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We shouldn't just be Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We can be because they have the best food. We all know that. We can be because we like the dancing. You know, I've met devotees that became devotees because they liked the dance, and they came to a Krishna temple, and you could dance there. It was, like, really great, which is wonderful. And we should also know that what's happening, in a sense, behind the scenes philosophically about the nature of Krishna and the nature of our relationship with Krishna. So these verses really give a phenomenal insight on our understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth, that Krishna is a person. He actually comes in this world for many reasons, and the main one is to give us the opportunity to reestablish religious principles, for us to reconnect with him. So he is the supreme controller and the creator of everything. He's given advice to Arjuna what's best to do, and then he says, okay, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. I'm going to stand back and watch. And of course, that's confirmed in other Vedic literatures. The Upanishads describes that the soul is like a bird in a tree. We're trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Some are sweet, some are sour, some are bitter. But there's another bird in the tree, another soul in the heart of everybody. That's the super soul, just waiting and watching to see for us to turn towards him. And Prabhupada describes here in this purport, he says, we should use our right determinations, the term he uses, to come to the understanding of the need to surrender to him and the need to take shelter of him, and that it's our decision to do so. So this is a really phenomenal understanding of the purpose of human life and the opportunities that are there in human life, and that this knowledge, in one sense, I find it makes all the pieces of the puzzle fall together. I'm based in Washington, D.C. I go to like a lot of conferences. I go to some other religious communities, events. And you know, you go to some events and you're with people that are really emphasizing compassion. And they're dedicated deeply to compassion. And I find a little lack. And when you ask them, well, who you mean compassionate for? Because ultimately, there's nothing. So we should be compassionate for nothing. Well, that something seems to be, for me, something seems to be missing there. So in other traditions, they talk about there is a personal God, and he's all-loving, and he wants to deliver us or save us from this material world. And if you don't surrender in this one life, you go to hell forever, and it can be kind of a nasty place. So we value the very wonderful good things that we see in these different traditions, and we also know we've chosen Gaudiya Vaishnavism for a lot of different reasons, one of which so many pieces of the puzzle fit together. For instance, there's a lot of concern these days. You read studies, a lot of young people especially, very frustrated, oftentimes very depressed, very confused, because they don't know what's the goal. People don't know what the goal is. And here Krishna's explaining what the goal is. The goal is to realize what's our relationship with him. That's the goal of this life. And I can remember, like, as a young person thinking, okay, so you're all telling me I should go to school, get a good education, so I can get a good job, so I can get married, so I can buy a house, so I can have some kids, so I can give them a good education, so they can grow up, and they can get married, and they can buy a house, and etc. And we all die every few years. That's the other part of it. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense. So young people, especially, they're asking, you know, is there goal, is there purpose, is there meaning? And they're very frustrated because there's a lack of goal, there's a lack of purpose, there's a lack of meaning. And people see that the things that we are seeking, again, I live in Washington, D.C., like there, the buzz in that town is power. It's all about power. So whatever it seems to be, a certain number, percentage of people, whatever will bring you more power is good. Whatever diminishes your power is bad. There's other values, of course. We don't want to make it too simplistic. But that's really a very, very driving force for them. For other people, it's consumption. They want to consume as many things as possible in the world. But just like Christmas is coming up, if you do any kind of research, just, you know, go on Google and find out what percentage of Christmas presents are kept. It's something like, I didn't look it up recently. I gave a class a couple years ago in New York City on Christmas Eve, so I did the research. But it's something like 60% of Christmas presents are thrown away within 6 months. And it's billions of dollars, and it's thousands of tons of landfill. So it's like, okay, so, and we know, people, they work hard, you know, they go to the shopping center and they got to fight and they got to be in the traffic jams and they got to like hassle and go through so many headaches, and it's on their credit card for 2-3 months because they're thinking it's going to make them happy. It's going to make other people happy. But if it did, then why are they throwing everything away? So people that are thoughtful think, why should I be working so hard trying to buy so many things that are just going to be thrown away? Most people aren't so thoughtful. They just buy a lot of stuff. They go to work. They buy a lot of things. They throw it away. They don't really think about it. But here, this question is being answered for us. What's the goal? Well, the goal is not to just try to consume things, power or other subtle things or gross things in this life, but to actually understand who is Krishna. What is there a goal? Yeah, there's a goal. There's actually a goal. Each of us, there's a goal we can be achieved in this life. And then the second puzzle for me is like that comes up, why there's so many choices? If there's one goal, why is it so confusing? I mean, just make it simple. You know, like do this or else. I mean, that would be one thing, you know. Sometimes governments get into that mood. So why is there so many choices? Well, Krishna explains, because he's given us the whole universe as a playground. Like, we're individual souls, we're independent. It's like, whatever you want, topmost planet down to the lowest, 8,400,000 different species of life, like, go for it. Like, did I hear somebody say they were visiting, did you say you were visiting, did I hear right? I was outside. You're visiting Disneyland and we're close or something? No, okay, I might have put that, no, the person behind you. But a lot of people, it's like, yeah, I mean, I know when I was, when my stepson Gauravani was a kid, we went to Disney World. No, went to Disneyland in California. You know, and it's like, wow. You know, till about 4 o'clock after a lot of, they call that stuff, cotton candy and everything else. It's like, you know, I want to go home. You know, but it's like really exciting. It just, it's like this ride and that ride, and it's really, 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 really looks really, really exciting. So the same way, it's like, wow, I got the whole world to enjoy. The whole universe to enjoy, this body, that body, so many things. And why so much variety? Because Krishna's given us the opportunity, describes in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's purport. There's only two purposes of the whole creation. One is to give us a chance to enjoy ourselves. Like, we wanted to be happy with through sensual gratification. Krishna says, poof, there you go. You got a whole universe. More universes if you want. And you can stay here as long as you want. There's like, there's no time limit, right? You go to Disneyland, they kick you out. It's dark. You got to go home. You got to pay again tomorrow. Once you come here, there's no time limit. You can stay again and again and again and again and again and again and again. So that's the one purpose. The second purpose is when we realize, hey, it's not working. Something's wrong here. Then the opportunity to how to like reconnect with who am I really and how I actually can be satisfied to purify yourself. So third question that comes to my mind, just thinking, you know, stepping back to see the many, many questions Krishna consciousness answers. Why, and a lot of people ask this, why is there so much envy and so much competition in the world? Why is it, you know, why did the Russians, who used to be like good buddies with the Ukrainians, what happened there? And why is this country on the verge of attacking Venezuela? 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 You know? Huh? And why did the Europeans come here and couldn't figure anything else but killing all the natives? I mean, okay, yeah. I mean, huh? What's that all about? And you know why, like I might have mentioned last time I was here, I have a friend, Russian friend, when I was in Moscow, talking a little bit about Russian history and what I knew, and they said, well, you know what we know about American history? And I said, no. Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, what did you do? He couldn't tell a lie, and you know, we World War II, we saved the world. He said, well, no, we learned two things. You killed all the natives, genocide, and then you built the country with the labor of enslaved blacks. That cut my false ego about being American down a lot. But I had to, you know, it was like, whoa, that's a shock. But yeah, actually, those are probably the two most consequential aspects of the history. It's not a very pretty picture. So why? And it's not just here. I mean, you look at other countries, like, you know, you go to Italy, like there's the Romans, and there's the buildings they built on the ruins of the civilization they conquered, on the ruins of the civilization they conquered. It's like the whole history of it. It's just, you know, so much tribal. So why is there so much envy and competition? Because in ignorance, people are controlled by lust and greed. They don't know they're spiritual, and therefore they're thinking they're the body, so therefore they're greedy because they want to put more and more things on their tongue and their eyes and their ears, etc., and it just doesn't satisfy. So it just leads to anger and frustration and bitterness, and, you know, instead of thinking you're my friend, you're my enemy because I'm in competition with you. You know, there's only so many people can drive down the street at one time. And there's a traffic jam, and I don't like it because I want to get someplace, and you're in the way. Honk, 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 honk. Right? And if they're really out of control, they'll just pull over and pull out their gun and shoot you. Right? I was like, wow, where's that coming from? Well, it all comes from this desire. People are looking for happiness, but because they're never satisfied, they become bitter. So then the immediate next question, why is so much suffering? Directly connected to the envy and the competition that's there, because we're separate from Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive supreme personality, the source of all pleasure. And because we cause pain to each other, we get karma. We get reactions for that. You know, like you hurt me, I hurt you. Material energy set up like that to teach us. So what's the goal? We're learning from Krishna. Why so many choices? We learn from Krishna. The variety's there to satisfy desires. Why so much envy and competition? Why so much suffering? It's all explained here in these series of verses. And how do we get out? That's the biggest question of all. How do we get out? So here he's telling Arjuna, he's described the whole process of knowledge, he's described purification, he's described the demoniac nature, how one can become covered by these lower modes of nature. And then he's saying, you can get out of this whole big mess, Arjuna, just cooperate with me. Just take shelter of me, just follow my advice. And especially in this age, it's like, okay, well that, you can have advice, Krishna, like how to solve all these problems. It must be really tough. Right? It's gotta be like trying to get into the best medical school squared, right? Should be really tough because it's the most valuable thing. But Lord Chaitanya comes, fulfills the mood of Lord Krishna, and just says, okay, what do you got to do? And then Prabhupada comes, makes it even more understandable. Chant, dance, and be happy. Like, well, that doesn't sound so tough. We're ready to like sit in fire, right? And you go to the Himalayas and soak up all the tapasya, or be crucified like Jesus and follow in his footsteps and all that. No, it's just Lord Chaitanya makes it very easy. Chant, dance, and be happy. Just like today, it was so nice, the tent's still there, and probably a lot of you were there. There was this beautiful wedding. So, and it was really nice. There was a lot of affection expressed and a lot of support, and people were mentioning how such a loving community for Surya and for Shruti Sagar supporting them. So Krishna doesn't say don't have weddings. Krishna says have weddings. Great, have parties like they're putting the tents up. It was so cute. There was one devotee here I've known for many years, and we were chatting a little bit, and his daughter came up and said, come on, she's about 5 or 6. She's pulling them. Come on, we got to put up the tents. Like, quit talking. We got to put up the tents. We got to put up the tents. She's like little. It was like, wow. You know, this is like not only cute, but it's really wonderful to be raised in a cult. Let's do service. Come on, we got to do service. Let's do service. So, you know, have weddings, have parades. Parades, yeah, we have parades. Have vacations, have festivals, have crafts, have music, have arts, have kids, have big families if you want. Just put Krishna in the center. That's all he asks. Like he tells Arjuna, you're going to fight no matter what. You got to fight, whether you think it's good, bad, ugly, whatever. It was a big mess. But you got to fight, put me in the center, and everything will be okay. So in the same way, he says that to us. I mean, we don't know what our destiny upholds, really, you know. Just like that guy. We don't know where he came from, where he's going. We have no clue. But we know he's connected to Krishna. So we know we're going to make a lot of, we're all at a certain stage, relatively, you're going to make a lot of money, you're going to lose a lot of money. You're going to be healthy, you're going to be unhealthy. You're going to think you have a lot of time, you're going to realize you have no time. You're going to think you're young, you're going to realize you're old. Right? You're going to think you have a lot of friends, you're going to have days you're going to think that you don't have any friends. You have days that everybody thinks you're great, fantastic, and you're like really popular, and other days you think like nobody likes me or loves me in the world. It's just the way of this place, right? It's there. That's guaranteed. But Krishna says, in the middle of all that, just put him in the center. Remember that he's our best friend, and gradually realize that by pleasing him, that's actually the best thing for us, the best thing for others, and we will cross over all of the sufferings of this world by his grace. That's his promise. So how do we get to that point? 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this, there is no doubt. So our whole process is just, we have to get convinced. it's a gradual process of practice. It's described in the Shastra to be enthusiastic, be confident, have patience. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, to be patient. But if we're enthusiastic, if we're confident, if we're patient, Krishna says success is guaranteed. And here he's explaining, just become convinced of his position, that he is the all-attractive Supreme Person, that he's actually standing here in Alachua, not because he needs all these flowers I learned today flown in from South America. He doesn't really need those because, you know, he owns the plane and the gas and everything else that got them here. But he's just standing there because he's waiting for our devotion. He's just there just to see if we come in and offer a little prayer, and if we try to take shelter of him as best we can, whoever we are, wherever we are. So Srila Prabhupada has also explained that Krishna is so kind. I just read this again the other day. He said, Krishna wants us back home more than we can desire. You know, that's the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He actually wants us back home happy more than we can desire. But we have so many different things. We're distracted by so many things. So there's a whole universe to fulfill our desires, but we're fortunate enough to have the contact with Srila Prabhupada, with the Vaishnavas, with ISKCON, to gradually realize that, you know, these other things are just not enough. So we put Krishna in the center. We have beautiful weddings, we put Krishna. The beautiful wedding, Radha, big picture, Radha Murlidhar, we're there from the Bhakti Center. Of course, Shama Sundar's here just like a few feet away. You know, we have big parties, but nobody, don't eat that till we offer to Krishna. Right? We have big festivals, and what do? We take the deities in the street. I mean, we have praise like nobody has praise like we do. Nobody has praise. They just wrote a letter to the new mayor of New York. The devotees in New York wrote a letter of congratulations, which we should do to build relationships with people and officials. They sent it to me just to give some thoughts. So you should mention who we are. They said, you know, we're the people with the big parade down, the big festival of cherries down Rath Yatra, Fifth Avenue. It's like, it's a big deal. We're those guys. Congratulations from those guys. You know, the ones that know how to throw really wonderful parties. So, just to wrap it up, then we can see if there's some questions or comments. It's the 60th anniversary and the 50th commemoration coming up. Please take advantage. 6 weeks away from the beginning of the 60th anniversary of ISKCON. We should be planning now. I know New York is planning on doing a very big gala event. They're looking at all the venues in New York City. Not cheap. If you have any extra money laying around, a few thousands of dollars, send it to them. Very expensive for a big event, but it's going to be important. That's where we started, 60 years of the Hare Krishna movement. It's a very significant event. So that's one thing. And then this essence of Vaishnava philosophy, Krishna is so kind that he gives us the choice to accept him or not accept him, to surrender to him. He gives us unlimited opportunities, and we should take advantage of his kindness and say, yes, Krishna, I'm tired of this place. I'm really tired of this place. I might have mentioned one time, years ago when I was 20, before I became a devotee, I read a book by, it was called The Red and the Black, by a, I'll remember his name later. Anyway, he talked in this book, he said, actually, we're all God, we're playing hide and go seek. And I thought, wow, that's really good news, because I want to finish this game. And if we're playing hide and go seek, all I can do is stop the game. I'm going to stop it. So I grew up, anybody here from Michigan? In Michigan, at least when I grew up, you play hide and go seek with all your friends when the game's over, or you can't find one or two kids or whatever, you're tired of the game. Say, I don't know where it comes from. Alley, home free. I don't know what it means. Alley. So I sat down, meditative pose, deep breath in and out, focus my mind. Alley, home free. I'm tired of this game. Alley, home free. Alley, home free. And I opened my eyes. I was still there. I was still in my body. I was still suffering. So, okay, that doesn't make sense. I'm not God. I'm not playing hide-and-go-seek. There's somebody else that's got control over this thing. And I got to figure out who and where and how to do it. So here we're understanding. Take shelter of Krishna, that he's so kind. Again, these things like, why so much suffering in the world? Well, because we're rebellious and we don't understand our relationship with him. Why is there so much? What's the goal? Everybody's looking for a goal. Well, the goal is right there in front of us, to reconnect with Krishna. It's not to have the biggest car, the biggest house, the biggest this, the biggest that. That's all temporary, you know? You become, again, in Washington, D.C., you can become like so powerful. In a few years, it's gone. So what's the point of that? No. Why so much envy and competition? Because in ignorance, it's simple. Because people are ignorant. They don't understand that actually we're all parts of Krishna. We're meant to work together, but instead they're thinking everybody's my competition over limited resources. So our Vaishnava philosophy, Krishna is so kind, he gives us unlimited choices to come to him. We can root out all suffering, which is caused by my rebelliousness. I have free will. I'm making some bad choices. I got to stop making those bad choices, misusing my independence. And then we can get out of here, get out of this illusion. And I read again in one of these purports, Prabhupada said, actually, there's no such thing. There really is no material world. It's all spiritual. It's just our ignorance. We don't see it's connected to Krishna. So just by this simple and gradual process of Krishna consciousness, we can learn all to offer everything to him, our time, all that we do, our love, our service. And if we do that, then actually that satisfies the soul. So it's really a wonderful, phenomenal philosophy, process, experience, and we just have to take advantage of it. We'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There's 8 whole minutes for questions, I think.
Any question, reflection?
God's speaking to us, I think. Oh, it's you. Okay. I just heard a voice. I don't know where it's coming from. Yes. I can't see how many kids you have there, 2 or 3? What's the number? 3, very nice. And they're very quiet. They're not yours. Okay, well, they have a lot of respect for you. They stayed quiet. I mean, it was a fantastic class, but I mean, not at that age, right? Yes.
Thank you so much for the great class. Prabhu, my question was, you said...
One little tip, if you angle the microphone so that it's like pointing like this, like this doesn't work, you have to point it right towards you.
So you mentioned how Krishna says, first you surrender, and then he also says, do what you like, right? So that's because...
Wait. He says, he instructs us best if you surrender, and he gives us his choice whether to do or not. Yes. Okay.
So that's because he really wants us to choose.
Yes.
So in our state, you know, we are so clouded that sometimes I may feel like I'm choosing Krishna, but maybe in the grand scheme of things, the dots don't connect all the way to Krishna. So how do we figure that out, like day-to-day life, that we are actually choosing or not choosing Krishna? Like, it can be so tricky.
How do we make the choices more in our day-to-day life? Is that the question? Or how?
Yeah, how do we know we are actually choosing Krishna?
How do we know we're choosing Krishna? Well, that's why the Vaishnavas are there, because they love to point out to us when we're doing things wrong. No, seriously. With devotee association, devotees are there. We have the right guru, sadhu, and shastra. They're there to help us make the right choices. And it is, as Prabhupada says so many times, it's a gradual process. You know, we have our habits. We've got our bodies are pulled towards materialistic things, and our minds are pulled towards materialistic things. But the whole idea is that in this life, through the process of bhakti yoga, we gradually become purified. And then we realize more and more how we have forgotten Krishna and how we can add Krishna. So whatever, you know, Krishna's watching. Like there's this nice song I really like. I don't know who sings. It's a Christian rock song. The Lord is watching you. The Lord is watching you. The Lord is watching you from a distance. So we believe he's closer. He's not so much of a distance, but he's watching. So what's he watching for? He's watching to see if every opportunity we have, we just make a little bit of a step towards him. And it's described, one of Prabhupada's purports, for every one step we take towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards us. And he knows we've been here a long time. I mean, we got a lot of bad habits. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you. You probably have no bad habits. I got a lot of bad habits. My mind, my tongue, my thoughts, you know, just goes to so many nonsense things. But if we just try, he'll help us. So when you say, how do we know we're making the right choice? Well, the Shastra is there, the Guru is there, the Vaishnava is there, the Sadhus are there. They help us understand how to direct our lives more directly towards Him. And as we do that more and more, He shows us more and more how to do that at a more subtle level. So just whatever knowledge we have, do that. And more knowledge will come.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Prabhu. The servant of the great dancer, Mahaprabhu.
So Krishna is saying, on the one hand, you know, here are these instructions, deliberate on them, do what you would like. Then on the other hand, we hear that, you know, it's an offense to maintain material attachments after we understand so many instructions on Krishna consciousness. So
yeah.
How do those things kind of go together?
Well, it's an offense. To not follow Him is an offense, but He lets us do it. To come into the material world is an offensive. It's like, dear Krishna, please hide. Go away. You know, it's my turn to be the center. It's my turn to be the controller. It's my turn to be the enjoyer. It's my turn to be the best friend. It's my turn to, you know, use everything in this world for my pleasure. Of course, when you use it, it simultaneously helps everybody. When I think like that, I'm going to be a little mixed. I'm going to maybe help some and exploit a lot. So, I mean, that in itself is offensive. So, I mean, yeah, it's just that's an example of one of those things of understanding the more subtle ways of, as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we start realizing more and more subtle ways. It's like when you're a kid, you know, when you're a little baby sometimes, or not a baby, a little, you know, little youngster, 2-3 years old, when they get angry, they just tell their mommy, or, you know, they hit, right? Not very hard, because they can't, right? But that's how they express themselves. And then, you know, when you're a young teenager, I saw this one time on somebody's bumper sticker, somebody said, Mom, you get a little more subtle, like a teenager. Mom, I hate you. Get out of my life. But before you go, can you take me to the mall? And then you get a little older and a little more mature, and you start realizing, you know, like a lot of these wedding blessings today were about learning to see that the actual, your happiness, you should try to make your partner happy. Don't think about your, think about their happiness. So we get more and more subtle understandings. And as you go, we can refuse to follow those. I mean, that's why, not all the time, sometimes there's an abuse of the system, but a lot of times, you know, people end up in jail because they don't get the message that you shouldn't hurt others. So somewhere or other, I'm thinking my pleasure will come through hurting you. Well, the society doesn't allow that, and Krishna really doesn't allow that. So, yes, Krishna says that you have the choice, and to make the wrong choice is an offense, but He still lets us do it. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes? Yeah, a little louder.
My question is, why do great personalities still suffer?
Why do great personalities still suffer?
Even the devotees or the Guru Maharaj, like their surrendered souls, why are they still suffering?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to answer that question. if we talk about not the big suffering to start with, okay, can we just talk about the littler suffering? Like, why did I stub my toe? Because Krishna's trying to remind me this is not a nice place. Why did I lose all my money or my house or my business? Because Krishna's trying to remind me this is not a nice place. Why sometimes do people who seem very, very innocent, say young people, children sometimes suffer great abuse? Why is there genocide of whole nations of people? Those things are a lot harder to understand. I don't claim to try to understand those. I just know that ultimately Krishna is interested in everybody's well-being behind the scenes. And to whatever extent I can, I should try to minimize that suffering. Where we really have a problem is if we allow ourselves to start thinking it's his karma to suffer, therefore I don't care, or her karma to suffer, I don't care. We should think, by whatever reasons, we don't know past, present, we can't see that. This person is suffering. As a devotee, How can I help alleviate the temporary suffering at the same time help alleviate the permanent cause of that suffering? But great personalities, I mean, we have the example of, like, say, Queen Kunti. I mean, she suffered more than any of us can imagine. Her husband was killed by some crazy curse. She had to live for decades in the house of the king who wanted them all dead. She had to stand by and watch her sons be poisoned, you know, the house of lack and the fire and all that. The whole war, they were exiled for, what, 12 years? All of that. And then when she sees Krishna, she says, if I need to undergo all that again in order to help me remember you, I'm ready. Let it come again and again and again. So that's the vision of the truly, truly, truly advanced devotees. So that's, we can understand that level and this level, and sometimes those in between is a little hard. I don't have sufficient realization to explain things like genocide and child abuse and things like that. It's beyond my level of realization.
Thank you.
Is that helpful a little bit? Okay. Part of it too, like I say, like great devotees, like if Mataji, if you read like say Lilamrita, Prabhupada suffered so much. I mean, his books were stolen and his, you know, he was gored by a cow and left in the middle of the street. And, you know, he came to America, and, I mean, he had disciples that, like, stole temples. And he, I mean, the, you know, the Juhu battle, and, I mean, so many things. He went to the printer to publish his books, and the publisher, the print house guy would say, have you eaten this morning, Swamiji? He would say, no problem, let's just print. No, have you eaten? No, I haven't. Okay, let me bring you food. So he suffered so much for us. And I think part of the suffering that Prabhupada underwent is to help give us, as his followers, for many generations to come, that if such a great devotee can tolerate some suffering for us, let me suffer a little bit, whatever karma I have due to my past mistakes, and how we can be inspired by, see, such a great, even such a great person as Prabhupada had to struggle so much, so what's my little tiny struggle? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
By the way, it's dark out, but there's prasadam there, right? Can't see it, but.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. So this topic of surrender is a deep subject, and it's a heavy subject also. So like we hear in scriptures that love of God is dormant in everyone's heart. Is the propensity to surrender also there in everyone's heart?
Yes, absolutely. Because they go together, right?
Yeah.
If you love Krishna, you surrender. And I Prabhupada says surrender a lot. At least for me, my cultural bringing and background, take shelter of is a lot more attractive to me. Surrender is like, you know, you surrender and maybe they'll kill you, maybe they won't, maybe they'll lock you up. I mean, like surrender in the modern context, a lot of nastiness there. Krishna is saying, take shelter of me. I'm your best friend. I'll protect you. Just inject that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So second question is, so you're saying it is, yes, the propensity to take shelter is also natural in every living entity. Of course, it has to be fanned by the devotee. So going back to your times, did Srila Prabhupada, how did he endear all of you to take shelter of Krishna? He endeared you all to him first, and then it happened? Or how did that happen?
Well, I came later. I came in 1975. I joined the ISKCON, became a brahmacharya in the ashram in 1975. I saw Prabhupada one time in 76. So my experience was probably very similar to everybody now, which is I saw Prabhupada through the temples, through his purports, through his books. I mean, I personally saw Prabhupada in India give lectures in the Mayapur for 2 weeks, and then, Mayapur first, then Vrindavan for a couple of weeks. It was a big deal when they got a Prabhupada tape ministry. I remember one year the temple kind of splurged. We had like a successful Christmas marathon as a treat to everybody. They bought the tape so we could listen to Prabhupada's lectures. There was maybe 100 of them available that time. So I think, you know, the answer is that the same way all of us, we hear about Krishna, we hear from Prabhupada, and we all should do that. We all should listen to Prabhupada's lectures. We all should listen to Prabhupada, read Prabhupada Lilamrita, and hear about the way, and the Bhagavatam, of course, how Krishna interacts with his devotees, and we see the kindness and the compassion and the love that's there, and we compare that to our experience in the material world, and it's just, it's there's no comparison. You know, but because our habits, we keep trying to take shelter. It's like addictions. I've taken a course on trauma, and they talk about addictions, and how people are so unhappy, they take shelter of something that gives them some short-term gratification, some addiction, drug, whatever, gambling, intoxication. And then they get addicted because it makes them feel good. But it's not the material that actually is the problem. The problem is the lack of satisfaction or happiness, because that gap for Krishna is there. So they try to substitute it with something that then they become addicted to, but that what we really need is Krishna. So when we realize actually, gradually, that actually our connection to Krishna is actually what I'm looking for, all the other things just fade away. You know, you see, it just fades away. Like, okay, here's a guy who's really rich. That means he doesn't sleep very well at night. Here's a woman that's really beautiful. Wow, that just means she's got a lot of really obnoxious men hitting on her all the time. Like, congratulations, you get all these horrific people trying to, like, seduce you, really. Or here's all your money. Here's all your power, right? You got so many people around you, but they don't care about you a bit. They only care about your power. As soon as you lose your power, I'll end with this. When we first moved to Washington, D.C., there was an article right after the elections about, I might have mentioned this last time, but it's really interesting. A woman was interviewed. Her husband was a congressman, been around for years and years, was head of a committee, and they have elections on Tuesdays, and he lost. And she mentioned this news article that on Monday night she was on the A-list of everybody in town, in D.C. A-list means, like, if it's something really important, they want you to come. If you're not there, it's not that important. She said, on Monday night, we were on the A-list of everybody in town. On Wednesday morning, day after elections, my best friend would not take my call. So, hey, I don't want to take shelter in that. I'd rather take shelter in Krishna. Okay? Thank you, Prabhu. So I think we should stop, yeah? Let's stop now? What's that? One more? Okay. Denver, 1975. So one more, Mataji, but there is Prashadam out there. Anybody wants to go in? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's what our acharyas teach us, yeah.
And also, I was also thinking that, you know, we gain love by following Krishna's instructions. It's just like we've been fixing up our house and there's all these instructions on how to put things together. And if you just say, I know better than this, and try to do it yourself, forget it. It's a mess. Same thing with Bhagavad Gita. It's the instructions for our life. Without following them, you're just a mess.
Yeah.
Which you can see all around us. It's a mess. Thank you for the nice.
That's a nice summary. We can see all around us it's a mess. We should follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. You said it so succinctly. Thank you. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Shyama Sundara ki jai.